Hello and welcome to another episode of Hit or Miss, a baseball podcast hosted by me, Alexandra Aguila. And today we are recording the first Cubs episode of the second half of the 2024 MLB season. Super exciting stuff. This is, like I said, the first Cubs episode of the second half. The Cubs just wrapped up their series with the Brewers, so we're going to recap that today, as well as talking about how the Cubs are doing with runners in scoring position, some comments made by the front office these past few days, and then some trade deadline predictions and a preview to the Royals series that starts today. So, a couple of good topics to talk about, but nonetheless, let's just get right in it. Let's talk about the Brewers series. This was hard. Coming off of that Diamondbacks series and losing definitely took a toll on us. And I think, personally, I thought that the Cubs were going to start to get going. They lost those first two games against the Diamondbacks, but were able to secure the win on the last game of this series and then won the first game of the Brewers series. So I kind of thought things were going to start to get going, but unfortunately that was not the case and the Cubs ended up losing the series against the Brewers. Now let's recap game one. Game one was really nice for the Cubs. They won 3-1. Michael Busch singled to score Miguel Amaya in the bottom of the third. And then Michael Tauchman, I keep calling him Michael and his name is Mike. Mike Tauchman scored on a wild pitch at the bottom of the fourth inning, making the score 2-0, and to advance the lead, Ian Happ scored a home run in the bottom of the sixth. But, you know, obviously the Cubs just could not win 3-0, and Willy Adames had to hit a home run at the top of the eighth inning, making the score 3-1. Overall, good day, I guess, for the most part, offensively for the Cubs. Suzuki and PCA continued their struggles. Suzuki going 0-4, PCA going 0-3. The starting pitcher for the Cubs was Javier Assad and only went 3.1 innings with one hit, only two strikeouts, and walked six batters. So a little bit of a rougher start for him. So this definitely was a heavy bullpen game. Drew Smyly came in and was able to clean up some of Assad's mess. Leiter came in and had three strikeouts. So overall, the Cubs were able to secure the win in game one, but definitely important that the game two starter, which was Jameson Taillon, took the mound and was able to get some good reps in and ended up pitching, I'm pretty sure, seven innings. And we'll talk about that right now. So game two, the Cubs lost 0-1. And it was pretty much just a boring ball game until the top of the eighth inning when Bryce Turang singled and scored Jake Bauer. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I think the games where you either win or lose 1-0 is really, really hard and honestly sucks. I think any, you know, player would be like, I'd rather lose 10-0 than 1-0 because it just sucks that you just couldn't cash in at least one run. But yeah, so this was just a tough offensive game for the Cubs. They left 10 runners on base and, like I said, again, just couldn't cash in any runs. So like I said earlier, Jameson Taillon was a starting pitcher and he pitched 7.1 innings, which was super important since the bullpen kind of took a toll in game one, so it was really nice to have Jameson Taillon come in and be reliable for the Cubs. He let up four hits with only one earned run and had three walks, which is a little bit surprising just because Taillon isn't a guy who usually walks a ton of guys, so a little bit surprising there, but ultimately was able to secure three strikeouts and it remained a 0-0 game up until the eighth inning. So like I said, really good outing by Jameson Taillon. Unfortunately, the Cubs were just not able to get any runs on the board. So that leads us to game three, the final game of the series, and the Cubs lost 2-3. Jackson Chourios singled with the bases loaded, and Joey Ortiz scored in the first inning. But then the Cubs quickly came back at the bottom of the first inning, and Ian Happ singled, which scored Seiya Suzuki. And then at the bottom of the third, Seiya Suzuki hit a home run, which was really good and I think boosted him for that game. But then at the top of the sixth, Bryce Turang singled, scoring Willy Adames, tying the game 2-2. And then at the top of the ninth, William Contreras doubled, scoring Blake Perkins. So just unfortunate turn of events for the Cubs. We're able to keep a pretty steady game until the top of the ninth. But yeah, Horner and Bush had a little bit of a rougher game per se. They both went 0 for 4, but great day for Seiya, and he really needed that. He went 2 for 4 with one RBI. Morel continued to struggle, going 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts and 1 walk. And the starting pitcher for the Cubs was Justin Steele, who only went 5.1 innings, allowed 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks with only 4 strikeouts. The closer for that game was Hector Neris, who led up the winning run. Not something we haven't seen before, but yeah, just unfortunate turn of the events as the Cubs were not able to maintain that top of the ninth inning. So overall, tough series for the Cubs, back-to-back losing series at home too, which really hurts. Now we're going on a long road trip playing some AL teams, hopefully can get on a good stride. But yeah, I think these first two series of the second half were so important, especially being at home. And again, yes, we did play teams who do have a little bit of a better roster and who are in a better position standing-wise. But at the end of the day, you know, those are the series that, and, you know, being the second half, that you have to win. And I think, unfortunately, the Cubs were just not able to do that, only winning 2 games out of both of those series. So, again, really tough start to the second half for the Cubs, and a lot has to do with the fact that we can just not score with runners in scoring position, which does lead me to my next topic. Throughout the whole series, the Cubs were 3 for 19 with runners in scoring position against the Brewers. They are currently batting .221 with runners in scoring position, which is the second worst in the league, according to Baseball Reference. That is definitely not a position that you want to be in. Yes, this ball club isn't doing great this year, last in the division. But again, you know, this is just a huge problem. Everybody knows that the way that you win baseball games is by scoring runs. And if you're not going to do that by hitting home runs, you don't have to. But you got to take advantage of the situations that your teammates put you in. And just not being able to cash in those runs sucks. And just is not... sucks is just like the wrong word, you know, just to use. But at the end of the day, it's frustrating. The bases were left loaded twice in the Brewers series, which isn't something that... obviously anybody likes to see, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have a bunch of hitters who are just underperforming, that being Seiya Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, but then a huge part is that the bottom half of our lineup also isn't producing, and the Cubs have tried to kind of get that bottom half going and boost them a little bit by moving Swanson down in the lineup, but again, there just hasn't been much improvement. And that whole bottom three is currently batting .214, and that's their batting average combined against the Brewers these past couple of days. So again, just not being able to score in opportunities where you have a guy on second, a guy on third, or even the bases loaded is so, so hard. And I will say, a lot of those situations, there's 2 outs, I get it. But again, just not being able to cash in those runs is so crucial. And I think when you have, you know, players on this team who kind of get up to bat and almost, in a way, are I don't know if you're taking advantage of the situation or just not looking at it, you know, in terms of the bigger picture, but you got Christopher Morel out there who is going to give you a big swing. You know, we heard the comments made by an ESPN reporter the other day that it looked like he was just swinging for the lake. It's hard to, I guess, be on the other side of that and say no and say, and realize that, you know, that's not the case or whatever. But when, I was at that game and I know that Christopher Morales is a player who has a big swing. That's what he's known for, and that's what he's always had. But at the end of the day, you don't always got to go up there and then try to hit a home run, because that's not the only way that you can score runs. So it just gets frustrating sometimes when you have guys like that. Nico Horner, again, a guy who has a great swing, who has provided a lot of momentum for the Cubs this season, probably one of the most, consistent players that we've had on our team so far. But again, just it's going up to the plate when there's 2 outs, when you have a runner in scoring position, and just not trying to hit a home run, but maybe just a line drive, just a single. And these pitchers, they're not, you know, Shohei Ohtani, they're not, I mean, I don't know, Paul Skeens. Like, again, it's frustrating when you watch these games and you realize that you have a shot and you just cannot come through. You cannot just execute. And that's been the hardest part for the Cubs so far. Moving on, that leads us to where we are now in the standings, and what, you know, the future of this season and then the upcoming seasons look like. So over the past couple days, there have been some comments made by the Cubs front office, and they have come out and decided that there will be no major additions to the roster for the remainder of the 2024 season. So in other terms, there will be no rental players acquired before the trade deadline. Now, the mindset is to look towards 2025 in the future, so any additions or trades that the Cubs make before the deadline are to help the team in the future. So that's what the goal is for the Cubs as of right now. Now, my opinions are, I believe that 2025 has always been the quote-unquote year for the Cubs. I think that we've been hearing about 2025 for a long time now. The goal has really always been the future. I know, and a lot of Cubs fans know, that 2024 was just not going to be the year where we were going to go all out and try to win a World Series. Obviously, before you start any season, you want to be competitive. You want to, I guess, see yourself going far into October. But again, I think we were just not in a position, although we made some off-season acquisitions and moves, we were just not in a position to kind of go and give it our all, I guess you could say. So again, I'm not so surprised hearing this, and I'm not so upset either. Obviously, it does suck because I know Cubs fans, we've just been sellers year to year at the deadline. This year, I don't really see it like that, but more of just a middle ground standstill period. That's not to say that we are going to trade a couple of players, acquire some minor league guys, but there's just not a lot that's going to be happening, which I'm kind of okay with. And I think 2025 is a really good year to look at because that's hopefully the time where a lot of the guys that we have in our farm system, these top prospects, hopefully start to move up and to develop. That's Cade Horton, Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, BJ Murray, Brennan Davis, the list really goes on. These top prospects who are expected to perform, who we've seen perform in AAA, in AA, even in single A. So again, I think hopefully 2025 is the year where those players really get to get a chance in the big leagues, and hopefully we can start building our team with those players. Now, that goes to say, I know when these guys come up, maybe it'll be the same situation as, you know, PCA is going through right now. He's done, you know, well, but again, it's not, we know that he has, there's more that we've seen PCA done, or this doesn't make sense. We've seen PCA do more in the past, and so I don't think he has lived up to his full potential where he currently stands, but there is more room to develop. And, you know, the same goes for Michael Busch. Obviously, he's had a really nice season and has put together a really good first year with the Cubs. But again, a little bit more room to develop. And hopefully that could be the same with a couple of these guys who are in the minors. And so, again, I do have a lot of hope and trust in our farm system. You know, according to MLB rankings, we have the second best farm system in the league. And we've seen it on paper, but also on TV, how these guys have performed. So again, I'm not super upset that we are looking towards the future, and that all deals made before the deadline this year will be, you know, going towards what the future is going to look like of this team. It does kind of concern me a little bit because we do know that Jed Hoyer is on the last year, or about to be on the last year of his contract. So whatever the case may be, if a new guy is brought in, is everything still going to remain the same? And so, again, maybe a couple of question marks here and there, but I do think that 2025 has been talked about for a long time with the Cubs, and hopefully it will live up to what the expectations are. But again, I do have a lot of faith in this team going into the future. And I think a really good example of how we can grow with our farm system is looking at the Orioles. The Orioles are in a great position this year. I'm pretty sure they are leading the AL East right now. And so looking at them and seeing that they currently have the best farm system in the league, and it really, what we're trying to do is kind of replicate that or almost just follow in those same footsteps. If you look at their roster, most of their players are homegrown players, are coming out of their minor league system, and up to till now they've been pretty successful, and hopefully we continue to see that success over there in Baltimore. But I think the Cubs are looking at that and saying, hey, this has really worked for the Orioles. We kind of are in the same boat, in the same situation. Let's see what we can do. And I think, again, it's super important. And I think it's the best idea to really rely on your minor league guys and looking at them and building a future. Because, again, the future is young. And I think hopefully the Cubs can get on that same track and be back in that same position by next year, if not next year, then the following years. But I do think that it's always been the future for the Cubs, not necessarily right now or the year before. So that's what I have to say with a couple of stuff for the Cubs' future. Moving on, talking more specifically about the trade deadline, there has been some rumors because I wouldn't label the Cubs as a selling team. I don't think that we are going to fleece the team, but I could see a couple of moves being made. And that brings me to my first player, which is Cody Bellinger. Now, Cody Bellinger is specifically interesting because of the deal that he's currently on with the Cubs. I can see him as potentially being moved, and I think it's a move that could be made because, again, of the younger prospects that we have who are supposed to be coming up soon. Now, Cody Bellinger has had a great 2 years with the Cubs. Yes, he currently is on the IL, but I'm pretty sure he is starting to progress. I did hear that maybe he'll be taking a couple at-bats here soon, but maybe just remain in that DH spot for a little bit before getting, you know, into a full baseball mode. But again, I just don't think that when the Cubs signed him, obviously didn't see him as a long-term player here in Chicago. But again, I mean, things can change. I think really if the Cubs are looking to run off their prospects, there's no need to keep Bellinger. We got a lot of outfield prospects, PCA, Kevin Alcantara, Owen Casey, Alexander Canario. So again, there really doesn't leave any room for Cody Bellinger. Now, with Happ and Suzuki, quote unquote say Happ is a veteran guy, which I do think is important to have a veteran presence in the outfield. Really, again, you got to fill up that outfield with a couple guys that you've been trusting. And so I think Happ could be mixed in there a little bit with a couple of prospects. Maybe Suzuki taking in more of that DH spot. So again, it could move around a little bit, but I do think that Cody Bellinger is a player that could be moved before the trade deadline. And I don't think that Cubs fans should really take it to heart or, I think it's better for the future just because, again, we rely so much on our prospects and that's all we've been talking about for a while now. So I think it's the time to kind of give them a shot and hopefully we'll see it in spring training. I know we saw it a little bit before this season, so hopefully it's kind of the same for next season. So yeah, Cody Bellinger is definitely a player that I could see being moved. Moving on, I think Jameson Taillon, there's also a chance there. There are some rumors currently. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the Cubs starting rotation has really been the strongest aspect of this team for them this season, and I would hate for it to be messed with, but it will just show a lot of hope and trust in pitching prospects that we do have. Out of all the pitchers in this starting rotation, Taillon seems like the player that will earn some value, but then the Cubs wouldn't suffer a huge loss as well. So again, I see Tyone as a guy being moved, as well as some bullpen pitchers. I think Hector Neris could be moved. There are some rumors about Mark Leiter Jr., but I don't think, I don't know, I'm not really as confident in that one as I am, I guess, with Hector Neris. So, yeah, a couple of pitchers maybe could be moved around. And then Mike Tauchman, another guy who I think has done really, really well in Chicago, you know, the Palatine Pounder. But again, I mean, he could be, you know, a permanent DH, which is maybe what the Cubs need, just a heavy bat in that lineup. He's performed well. But again, there's only just so many spots in the outfield that if he's not a permanent DH, there's really no spot for him. So I do think he is a player that could earn a lot of value. There's a lot of teams right now looking for some big bats, that being the Yankees or that being even a couple of other teams in the National League. So, you know, Mike Tauchman could be a possibility, but I think I could see more Jameson Taillon or Cody Bellinger being traded before the deadline. And I do want to talk about two players that have been kind of getting talked about recently, but I don't think that they're going to go anywhere, and that's Nico Hoerner and Christopher Morel. I think I was a little bit surprised to hear Nico Horner's name popping up in some of the articles about, you know, trade deadline stuff with the Cubs. And that's just because I think if one thing has remained certain for the Cubs in the last 2 years, especially this year, is that this middle infield is really strong. Swanson and Hoerner have created this dynamic that has really worked out for the Cubs so far. And I think a lot of people would hate to see it be messed around with. Again, I know that there's a lot of young prospects out there, but again, I do think that Swanson and Hoerner are really good up the middle. And I don't think anything should be moved around with that. So I don't think Nico Hoerner is a guy that could be traded. I know that he is a guy with currently a lot of value, but again, I don't think that the Cubs are willing to let him go. Moving on to Christopher Morel, I think that the Cubs have showed a lot of faith in Morel by rewarding him the third base spot over Madrigal. It would be a little bit of a surprising trade, you know, considering the at-bats he's gotten recently. Yes, there are some holes, you know, offensively, but he's still young, and there is a little bit of room to develop. He's been stellar defensively, so again, I don't think Morel is someone who will be traded just because of the faith that the Cubs have showed him recently. I do, yes, you know, there's been talks about Morel and his capabilities and how he has contributed to the team, but at the end of the day, it's just getting him the at-bats, maybe having the same thing that happened with Amaya, things like that. So yeah, that's a little bit of my trade deadline predictions, slash what I think. And moving on to the end of this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming series, a Royals preview. The Cubs will play the Royals starting today, Friday, July 6th. And this is going to be an interesting series. This series starts off a long road trip that the Cubs have ahead of them, and hopefully we can come out with a couple of wins. In the last 7 days, the Royals have had the second best batting average and on-base percentage. They're a team that is piping hot right now, especially coming out of the second half, and I don't think anybody expected them to be where they are at right now. Again, just an all-around good team. Bobby Witt Jr. currently leads Major League Baseball in hits at 141 and currently has the highest batting average as well at 344. He is third in triples with 10 and fourth in slugging and OPS. So definitely a breakout player for the Royals, but above all, their pitching has been really, really good, and I think underrated this season as well. Their star pitcher, Seth Lugo, has the third lowest ERA amongst starting pitchers at 2.38, will most likely pitch game two in this series with a 12-4 record that he currently has. So, you know, I would be lying if they said that this wasn't going to be a challenge for the Cubs to pull out this win. But I do think that this could be a fun matchup. Game two being Seth Lugo, Shota Imanaga could be fun to watch. But again, it's just all going to depend on the Cubs executing those opportunities that they get with runners in scoring position, knowing that you don't have to hit a home run every single time. Defensively, we've been really on top of things and starting to pick things up. So hopefully things go well for the Cubs as they take on the Royals for a couple of days. And that's really all I have for you guys. Thank you guys again so much for listening to this episode. And I will be back on Monday with a Major League Baseball episode. We're going to talk some trade deadline stuff. A lot has happened today on Friday. A lot of deals went down. So super exciting stuff we get to talk about. But yeah, after the Royal series, I will recap that. Again, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. And yeah, bye.